Hello and welcome back to the Solve the Overeating Puzzle podcast. My name is Eugenia Nikiforo and I am the founder of Unlocks You, the Eating Psychology Clinic, where we give you a mind plan instead of a diet plan to be in control of your eating, your weight, and ultimately your life. This is going to be an interesting episode, and in fact, it's going to be actually an interesting season of few episodes where I am supporting Scott, who reached out to me and said, Eugenia, I am really struggling with overeating. I've gained 20 kilograms since the lockdown. I started struggling with depression and I am really, really not happy where I am with my health and my life. And I said, hey, I would love to support you. I would love to help you. And also I would love to share your journey with our listeners to feel inspired and motivated by your actions, but also to experience what coaching might look like. So this is the first episode where I establish Scott's goals, his challenges, and also give him that first homework to do to address his concerns and also to reach his goals. I really hope that you enjoy this and will feel also inspired to take those actions. Right, Scott, so you reached out and said, hey, I'm actually really struggling. I put on weight and kind of struggling with eating. Tell me what you find are the biggest struggles for you right now.
Cool. Yeah, so, you know, like I said, since lockdown last year, I've put on about 20 kgs, which I'm not happy about. You know, so things that I'm struggling with is overeating is one of them. Like I just want to keep eating. And even when I know that I'm full and my body's like, okay, you've had enough now. You know, like the rebellious little child inside of me just wants to put more food in my mouth, you know, until I'm like, and probably snacking through much too much throughout the day. Those would be like the big things that I'm big challenges that I've got around the eating. And then subsequently, you know, it's not making me feel good about myself, about, you know, my how I look and body confidence and just general confidence because I'm carrying this extra weight. So it's like food is almost like a comfort thing for me. Like it just makes me feel happy. It gives me those dopamine hits, you know, kind of makes it soothes me. Like if I get stressed, I'm like, where's some food? You know, when I get distracted, I'm like, okay, where's some food? And it's also a challenge with the lockdown, you know, working and studying from home. The kitchen's always there and it's always open, you know. So those would be the main things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then last year, start of this year, really, really depressed, deep, dark hole. And again, food was like that one enjoyable pleasure, you know. And I think I've kind of carried that mindset on. Mm. Yeah. You know,
Did the eating start when you hit that depression last year?
Yeah. Yeah. Lockdown, depression all kind of happened at the same time. Just, you know.
Okay, so that's when it started. That's when you started kind of using food as that comfort crutch.
Yeah, comfort crutch, but then also an escape in ways, you know, just like drift off to the land of mouth sensations.
Mm. Okay, gotcha. How would you say, how does your life feel to you right now?
in some ways I feel like I'm like I feel stuck, or that I'm standing in my own way, holding myself back, you know, not living the ideal life, you know. Yeah, around the food and that, like in terms of what I'm up to with my time, I'm pretty happy with my life, you know, but I still feel that I'm holding myself back and kind of standing in my own way.
Mm-hmm. If you were not to hold yourself back, what would you be doing?
I would be way more active. You know, I'd be much more active. I would be a lot more mindful of the food that I'm eating and the times that I'm eating. I'd be more disciplined. You know, I'd have more energy, more vibrancy, more confidence, self-care, self-love. Yeah.
If you were confident and real looking after yourself, had all the energy, what would you be doing differently?
Well, I don't know what I'd be doing differently, but I think I'd be feeling different about the things that I was doing. You know, like I'd just have a brighter mindset. You know, I'd be more self-accepting and self-loving.
If you were like loving yourself more and accepting yourself more, again, what would be different for you? What would you stop doing, maybe, as what you're doing right now, apart from eating?
So you're talking about not food related.
Mm.
I would definitely be taking better care of myself. I would be, you know, making sure that I got my daily exercise in and not just going, you know. I would probably be more social, like with my friends, which is also hard with lockdown and all. Mm. But you know, part of me is ashamed of the way that I've kind of let myself get into. So in some ways I've kind of been, it feels like I've been hiding myself. I would be, you know, pushing my breathing work a lot more, you know, promoting that, just cause even like jumping on a camera and going, "Hey, what's up, world?" You know, I like look at myself, I'm like, ugh, you know, so I'd be putting myself out into the world more rather than kind of hiding in a hole.
So what is happening when there is emptiness in our life?
Mm-hmm.
We fill that void with food.
Mm-hmm.
Because it gives us something to do. It makes us happy. Dopamine, we talked about that. It kind of is a good way to escape as well. Yeah. But let's say when we no longer have that void, when our life is already full with things that really matter to us, when we are living that meaningful, purposeful life, we no longer need food to fill that, because it's already full. What comes up for you when I say that?
Yeah, I understand that. I think, like, I feel like in terms of what I'm doing work and study wise, like I'm doing meaningful, purposeful work that I'm really, really passionate about.
Yeah.
But I think I'm kind of lacking more social and like connection, community connection. I think that would be the emptiness of things.
So what is really interesting, right? When we feel that shame about ourselves, that we've gained weight and kind of withdraw, what we're doing is we're going away from what we are really longing for, that connection. So again, what we're creating is by withdrawing, we're creating that gap. And that's where food comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What I think is we need to do it backwards.
Okay.
We need to start giving ourselves, even though it doesn't feel comfortable. And yes, there is shame. But that shame only grows when we continue hiding it, hiding, because we feel that it just gets bigger and bigger. Yeah. When we actually go out there and start doing what is meaningful to us, and like I said, for you at this stage, that social connection, absolutely. We are longing for it, right? Especially in lockdown. One is we're breaking that shame slowly, because then the mind, our mind connects the dots and says, well, actually, it's not as scary as I thought. Because most people, even though they might notice there is change in you, but they like you, as you know, right? I'm just kind of repeating what you're saying, but they like you for who you are. So they will be connecting with you. It doesn't matter if your weight, let's say, goes back, moves back and forth, right? Changes. They will connect with you because of who you are. That way you're still connecting, and maybe, and that is only one step, that is not that one solution, but maybe it is the one step towards sort of for you no longer needing food to create that soothing love and connection, because you get that through connection with people.
Okay.
So I wonder if this is something where we can start. Connecting, creating those connections, whatever that is, and then see how you go. Now, if you were to connect with people, what would you do? We have to play with lockdown or not lockdown. We're kind of hopefully get out of it, but we don't quite know. And we might go back and forth. So let's say at this stage, what are different ways how you could connect?
Reach out to some friends via video call and say, hey, what's up, man? Haven't talked in a while. What's going on? What's good? What's not good? And I think, you know, taking time to like actually have meaningful conversations with friends. And out of lockdown, same thing, but gonna go see them, you know, and just spending some time there without, you know, without any motive other than catching up, you know. I think that'd be a big one.
Anything else specifically? How do you feel usually connected to people?
How do I feel connected? I don't quite understand.
So everyone feels connected to people differently. Some people say, I definitely need to have someone in person. Other people say, let's say, I know that you do your breath work, right? So even, let's say, while it feels a little bit scary, like I really don't want to go out and put my face on, let's say, social media. I don't know, maybe that's something that you feel connected to, because connecting can be to people. Connection can also be to our purpose. And I know that that's breath work is purpose for you as well.
Yes, I guess in terms of feeling connected with people, I think that connection comes from understanding and being understood, from like genuinely understanding what's going on or where they're coming from, rather than just the superficial, hey, how's the weather, you know. So that sense of really understanding that person's point of view, where they're at, and then also, you know, feeling understood at the same time. Yeah, and I do feel the connection through the breath work, and I feel that by really just sharing, you know, these tools with people and just watching, to seeing the response that they get, you know, and how it can positively help them. That's like, that really connects me or lights me up.
Great. Okay. I assume you know work of Brené Brown, right?
Some of it. I've read, I think, one or two of her books. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So she talks a lot about shame. She talks a lot about connection, belonging in particular. And one of our really big needs is belong, right? To belong, to be heard, to be understood, like you're saying. Mm-hmm. And I really like what you said. It's going deeper with people. So mm-hmm. when we do meet or talk to someone, so let's say sometimes even we can create connection with, let's say, someone whom we might not really know, but we go deeper with them. Mm-hmm. Like we ask maybe those questions. And I know that that's what you do. We ask those questions. We go deeper. We allow ourselves also to share with them, for them to be able to connect with us, to share how we truly feel, how we truly are. Mm. Yeah, so Brené Brown talks a lot about that. Because I think if we sort of, let's say someone asks you, how are you? Yeah, and the answer is, yeah, I'm good, thanks, how are you? So we don't allow anyone to come really in. Right. And therefore, there's like a block, there's like a facade. So it just bounces back.
Mm.
I guess that's why my question was, how do I feel connected to people? I can, let's say, catch up with a friend and be very superficial on my conversation. I don't feel connected that way. Mm. Right. Because I didn't really share what's really bothering me. What is really going on with me? Sometimes just one conversation create really just that connection, that depth, that understanding that you're longing for. Yeah. I guess the reason why I'm saying this is maybe there is one specific person who you feel you can have just that. Mm-hmm. That depth, that conversation, and just really go what really matters.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a handful of friends, you know, that I can really connect with, and there's no, you know, facades. It's just authentic relating, which is good, you know.
Beautiful. Oh. All right. So let's do that. How about you organize two of those chats for this week?
Mm-hmm.
When I say two, it's, you know, obviously if you want to do all five, that's that's up to you, but minimum two, I think it will be great. Okay. And would like you to, if you can, to join us tonight for our group call.
7 p.m.?
Yes, 7 p.m. That's also same thing where we go deep, because that's just the way I work. And where people do feel heard and understood and can share as mm-hmm. well. And I actually think I'd like to invite you also to share your experience, not experience, share your tools, one of your tools, maybe even tonight.
Yep.
Or maybe next time. We'll see how we go.
Happy to do that.
I think it'll be great for them to learn, because obviously I always talk a lot about breathing, but you know, I don't specialize in this topic. I just know how to breathe, I'd say. But you know, you can really teach those some of the things, and I think it'll be really, really cool. And they're always really open to learning as well. So I'd like to do that. So that is the connection, and we will go deeper, we will go further as we do doing these calls. The other topic that I would like to address is actually what you're eating throughout the day, because sometimes what we eat can also trigger what we want to eat more of. And just to make sure that we are not only covering the psychological aspect, but also the physiological aspect as well.
Mm.
So tell me your typical sort of day. I know every day is different, but sort of your typical eating day and the approximate times as well.
Sure. So if I have breakfast, and that's an if, it's usually coconut yogurt. walnuts, almonds, cranberries, chia seeds. Yeah, usually that.
Mm-hmm.
And by, say, breakfast, I'd be about 8 usually. And by then I've had 2 coffees.
Before that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my first coffee is at about 5:30.
Oh, why do you wake up so early?
I just wake up at 5.
You just wake up naturally?
No, there's nothing natural about it.
Okay, tell me why you wake up at 5 o'clock.
Just so I can be up to watch the sun come up, so I can do my meditation and visualization practices to try and get some short exercise in, but most of the time I don't feel like it and I just sit there and do my meditations instead. And because, like, I've always struggled with mornings, like, I fucking hate mornings, you know, like, just want to stay in bed curled up in the fetal position. So it's a discipline thing, you know. It's go to bed, you know, lights out 10 o'clock at the latest, alarm goes off at 5, I stand up straight away, have to, and then run away from my bed. Yeah.
How is that working for you, really?
It's pretty good.
You like it?
Yeah. Yes, okay. And no, but most of the time, yeah.
Okay.
You know, because then by the time 8 o'clock comes around, you know, you feel pretty good. Okay. You know, you're awake, you know, been for a walk or whatever, and yeah, it feels good. And okay. it feels like I've got a full day ahead of me. You know, and that was something that I was struggling with for a while, especially with depression, was sleeping too much. You know, when I was real depressed, there's a time where I'd sleep 20 hours a day.
Oh, okay.
You know, just because being awake was too painful.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Mm. Okay. I hear. So if breakfast, 8 o'clock, what could be some of the reasons why you might not have breakfast?
Not hungry.
Not hungry. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So what would be your next meal then?
I don't usually have like a lunch. Like, I'll just kind of snack on things, but like, I won't have like an actual lunch. And you know, if I am to have like an actual lunch, it would be like an avocado, maybe some tuna. But like, I've got all my like jars of like nuts and seeds and berries and stuff. So I'll like, you know, be like, ah, and then I'll walk into the kitchen and grab a handful of those, you know, and then I'll just sit there and kind of nibble on them like a squirrel. Yeah, I've got this thing for sea salted popcorn at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I buy them for my kids, these little bags of popcorn, but they're real delicious, eh? So sometimes I'll like destroy a bag or two of those. Sometimes 3. You know, and then some lunch times I'll be like, all right, I'm gonna go order some dumplings or some noodles or something like that, you know. Which would be the only time that I really eat bready, floury stuff, you know. Yeah, but, you know, like, I'd say the snacking's quite a regular thing throughout the day. Like,
right.
It's usually, yeah, like, I don't eat lollies or candies or sweets or anything like that. You know, like, I'll run to the fridge and grab a handful of grapes. But yeah, it's not like it's bad food, you know.
Mm-hmm. So it's snacking. And what would be your next meal?
Dinner.
Dinner. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what would you usually have for dinner?
Most of the time, some kind of salad,
mm-hmm.
some kind of vegetables. And I'd say about half of the time there's some kind of meat.
Mm-hmm.
Usually red meat or mm-hmm. red meat or chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, last night I ate ribs and I just had ribs.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to stop eating all the dead animals because it's not very nice to the animals, I think. you know, so I've been eating less and less of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, love to toss a good salad.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What do you think is contributing to the weight gain? Like, where are the issues in terms of the extra calories?
Eating larger portions than I need to.
Which ones? Your dinner or snacking throughout the day?
All of it. Yeah. You know, like for dinner, I'll happily eat a plate, and then I'm like, I could eat another plate. So I'll go and eat another plate, you know. Mm-hmm. And by that time, you know, like my body sends me a clear signal, and it's like, you've had enough food, you know. And my brain and my ego is like, yeah, but you can eat more. And I'm like, okay.
You know? Yeah.
So I think it's just portion size in general. You know, like my breakfast is small. My breakfast is small.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, you know, like I just keep eating.
Yeah. Okay. So potentially.
And I'd say, like, I probably do have some kind of takeaways 1 to 2 times a week, 3 times a week on a bad time, you know. Mm-hmm.
When you say takeaway, what is it usually?
I don't know, like some kind of Chinese or like Winner chicken burger or kebab, okay. You know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I think because there is no structure, right? There is a bit of snacking, there is snacking happening. There's a lot of snacking happening. And also what it might be like, let's say if you have nuts and seeds, these are great foods, but they are very calorie dense foods.
Mm.
Yeah. And it's very, very easy to overeat on those in terms of calorie wise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like let's say handful of nuts, and that is my handful. It's around 200 calories.
Mm.
I mean, I know if I have nuts, it's never a handful. It's at least few those sort of handfuls, right? And if you do it throughout the day, and especially like, let's say seeds have more calories than nuts a lot of the time, yeah? So sunflower seeds. And it kind of makes sense or pumpkin seeds, because these are seeds that have, they create a whole plant out of it. They have a lot of energy in them. So that's how we sometimes can get more calories in without really realizing that, because they're not really filling up our stomach, yeah? Because what you're wanting is that sense of fullness as well, especially when we talk about comfort and soothing. If we think about when we're babies, we usually eat until baby's full. If you think about, like, let's say your sons, and if you can remember when they were really babies, when you feed them, their little bellies are really like a balloon at some point. Mm. And so we get used to it. We love that feeling of fullness, because it gives us that comfort and soothing as well. So we connect that. Now, if I continue eating seeds to get that sense of fullness in a stomach, it's really hard with seeds or nuts. So that's why we need to create that. We need to eat food that is filling but doesn't have too many calories.
Okay.
Yeah, because we still want that. Also, when you're not eating enough throughout the day, now whether it's enough or not, I can't really say at this stage, it's just in general information. If we're not eating enough throughout the day, our body still needs a certain amount of calories, and it will want to get that to catch up on those calories later on. That's how people tend to overeat also at nighttime, because body's just trying to catch up. If it tries to catch up, it's never really the right amount. It's usually just way too much as well. So what I would like to try is create some structure And I think you like structure because you, what you said is, you know, my morning, while on the one hand I don't like it, it's also it's a kind of like a starting point for me for the day. If I get up at a certain time of the day, it gives me that structure for the day. Yeah. And as you call it, discipline as well. Yeah, so how do, like, how open are you to have structure in terms of your meals, so we know what you eat and how much you eat approximately?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. In terms of breakfast, now that's up to you. If you're hungry, you eat at 8 o'clock. If you're not hungry, you just wait until you're hungry and then you eat. But it sounds like your most of your meals are, as you said, they're pretty good, they're pretty healthy. But I think it's the lack of structure that's causing that as well. So if we have your breakfast and then let's say really taking time to have a proper lunch. And when we say proper lunch, that is we have our veggies, we have our protein, we have our fats, and we have some form of complex carbohydrates. Yeah, so complex carbohydrates, it can be starchy vegetables. If you want to go more in sort of plant-based diet, then that's where you can sort of look into some lentils and chickpeas and hummus. Sort of create maybe some patties, you know, from like lentil patties, kumara, pumpkin, so just more those of vegetables. And then your greens, your salad or your greens, because again, these are the fillers. So they are giving us that sense of fullness in our stomach without overloading on calories. And then you have your dinner, like you said, you have your dinner, which sounds pretty sort of okay as well. And then let's say between lunch and dinner, I do suggest to have a snack. So if you like to have your seeds or your nuts, I would just keep it, let's say you have maybe some yogurt, and then keep it to like a tablespoon of nuts or seeds. That way you're not really overdoing calorie wise, but still continue eating.
Cool.
Yeah, how does that sound to you?
Sounds reasonable.
Not rocket science.
No.
Yeah. But look, I mean, food is never really the actual problem. Most people know, right? If I ask you, what do you think? What would be a good way to eat? You will tell me. You know what to eat. You know what to do. Most people know. Yeah. So I don't think that's even the issue. But sometimes we get just into these habits as well and just continue repeating that, knowing, oh, maybe it's not really the best way.
I think so. Yeah, like you said, it's, I think most people know what is, you know, healthy eating habits and patterns and what's not, but it's that underlying beneath the surface thing that's driving you or that you're seeking through food, you know.
And in addition to that, also, if we have bad eating patterns, then those eating patterns can cause then further sort of behaviors around eating that, just create more problems. So how about this? As focus for this week, like we said, the two connections, minimum, right? To connect with people and really go deep and sharing how you truly feel, what's really happening, and really go into where you want it to go. And then also slowly creating a better eating patterns where you have your main meals, so one snack in between. And then see how you respond to that. And then obviously we will go deeper, we will go further depending on what comes up for you throughout the week. And then we will create new goals and strategies.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to seeing you tonight at 7 p.m. then as well.
Cool.
So Scott is off with his homework to focus on the first steps to gain control with eating, his weight, and his life. And I really hope you enjoyed listening in and experience what it might look like to have a coaching session with me or maybe someone else who you would like to work with. And tune in next week. Next week, we are going to hear how Scott went, what he did, actions that he took, and then also the progress that he has noticed from those activities as well. I can tell you only one thing: at the end of this of these episodes, you will actually see the magic that Scott has changed his life. I am incredibly, incredibly proud of him, because he really turned so many things around. So really continue tuning in on a weekly basis to see and listen to his progress and to see where he is at. You will feel inspired in the way I feel inspired. For now, have a beautiful day or beautiful night, no matter where you are, and I will talk to you next week again.